WST Podcast with very special guest, the Jess McIntyre of 710 ESPN Sports, as well as Cougar sideline reporter who actually knows what Coug water is. Okay, Wynn, what else do we get into?
We get into Coug water, which I didn't know what it was, but we talk about the NFL, we talk Niners, we talk Seahawks, we even talk Seawolves. Jess spent some time in Bristol at ESPN. She shares some stories. Listen in and tune in as we start right now.
You are adopted. Okay.
I'm allowed to say we, though, every once in a while.
Jess, do you have a mug club number?
A mug club number? No. And I know exactly what you're talking about, but I don't, which is something that I need to actually rectify.
Mike will give you a mug club number. Actually, just go get a mug and we'll etch one in for you.
Really? Any mug?
Yeah, just bring a coffee mug.
We'll get you a German beer stein.
Hey, man, they sold coffee mugs with my face on that stadium, although it wasn't coffee. So I think that I am officially a mug club member.
There you go. Jess, we were going to start with a little quiz. And it's called True Coug or Fake Coug.
So
we're not going to tell you where Kaywin went to school. But
The spotlight's on me, Jess. You just have to sit there and be the investigator and see if I'm true or if I'm fake.
We'll do six questions and then we'll just jump into some other stuff. So, Kaywin, first question. The stadium where the Cougs play their home football games is named?
Martin Staden.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, Jess, you can be the aunt or ding, ding. Best okay. burger and
my wrong one is like really bad. So
best burger and Pullman, and I'll accept two answers.
Well, for me, Rehorn and Grover, we used to go to Shakers, and that's where I like my burger, the best burger in town, Shakers.
Yes,
that wasn't what I was thinking, but I'll accept it.
Yes.
Oh, that was a hard aunt for me. I would have accepted Cougar Country or the Coug.
See, I was Cougar Country. That was mine.
Yeah.
And so it's a very subjective question.
All right. Number three, Mike Price took the Cougs to two Rose Bowls in what years?
Oh, I remember because you just missed out. And I'm going to have to do a little math here. I'm going to have to count on my fingers and toes. I will say... 99 and 2000.
That is actually sounds correct.
It's I would have accepted 97 or 98. The Rose Bowl was played on the first.
Okay.
Yeah, that is actually true. So it depends on if you're talking about the season or the year it was played in.
Yeah, I think I aced that one too. 3 for 3.
I think even on the technicality, you got it wrong, too. So.
We went back to Pullman to the review center, and they gave me the no.
So I'm going to call you 1-1-1 right now.
Right? Further than I thought I'd be at this point.
Hey, man, that's like even. You're just riding the golden fence.
Okay.
Crimson and gray fence, I guess.
Number four, Ferdinand's on WSU's campus. The creamery produces what world-renowned cheese?
Oh, come on.
Beecher's.
Oh. What? That's a completely different product.
Oh, no. I'm heading the wrong way. I'm trending down.
It has to be a joke. You did this on purpose. There's absolutely no way that you just said Beecher's cheese comes from Ferdinand's.
Jess, he said Beecher's cheese because I tell him about the fruit and cheese plates I get on Alaska Airlines all the time. And I rave about it.
Oh my God, are those the best? It's like the only thing you order. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
Like nobody wants your tapas, okay? Like give us the fruit and cheese plate.
I won't even subject myself
Beecher's
to the tapas plate.
From Beecher's.
No. Oh, Ben threw me off. He's been working on this for a year and a half. disguising Beechers in every episode. So we would come to this point, I'd mess up. He threw me off. Well played, Ben.
All right. I really need to know, because I feel like this is kind of a setup. What cheese comes from Ferdinand?
Cougar Gold.
World-renowned cheese. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. It comes in Viking. If you can name all the flavors, Jess, then you're a true cougar.
Oh, no. I just know can opener cheese. I have to use a can opener, and it's really expensive, and I eat all of it. So that's why I look the way I do. You're welcome, world.
All right. At this point, can you tell true or fake, Jess?
What? Wait, are you guys just messing with me?
No.
No. Hold on. We'll do two more questions. We'll finish out the quiz. How many straight appearances, okay, K-Win, has the Cougar flag made on ESPN's College Game Day?
285.
It's in the 200s, though, I think. 225 is what I got.
Oh, you don't even know the answer?
No, I do.
Does it count?
Yeah, I think that might be right.
Yeah. It was when they were still broadcasting in analog.
I would like to make a point. These are hard questions. I don't even think if someone actually went to Wazoo, they would be able to get these.
Here's the layup. If you went to Wazoo, here's an absolute layup. The brand of beer, which is also known as Cougar Water, is what?
You know this one. It's pretty easy. You can't even Google it.
Rainier.
Come on.
Miller Lite.
Bush Light, buddy.
Bush Light. 30 packs for $10. Out the door at Dismore's.
I guess I just showed my true colors here today.
So, Jess, now can you answer? Was Kyle a cougar? Was he not a cougar?
Yeah, because he probably just damaged his brain with a lot of Bush Light.
Yes.
And Fireball. Yeah, you're a cougar. If I'm a cougar adopted, then you definitely are.
All right. Well, thank you.
Kyle, I'm going to steal your question here.
Ooh, okay.
Jess, you spent 4 years in Bristol and 4 years in Pullman. Is that right?
Not 4 years in Pullman. I have reported on the Cougs for 8 years, though.
Okay. Where would you rather self-quarantine, Bristol or Pullman?
Oh, Pullman. Pullman.
What's Bristol, Jess?
It was a really great place to buy land in 1979 where you could put a bunch of satellites and no one would care.
Did you ever make any ESPN commercial cameos, Jess?
One time I was walking in the background. Actually, okay, I'll tell you this one. Do you guys remember the Drew Brees float?
That's my favorite commercial. I was just going to say that, where he's driving the float like it's Mardi Gras and they're honking behind him.
They didn't send out a memo to everyone, and I was literally late for work because of that. I'm like a 22-year-old production assistant, and I only know this one place. There's a million different places to get in, but you got to scan your ID and everything, and it's very, very secure. And yeah, I was I don't know where the other entrance is. What's all this traffic, and why are there camera crews? I don't get it.
And how come Drew Brees can't get that truck in the lot?
Austin Hannah Storm, still wondering the same thing.
Jess, who's am I going to put you on the spot here if I ask you who your favorite ESPN
sounds like it
broadcaster is?
Go ahead.
Who's your favorite ESPN anchor all time? Berman,
all
Patrick,
time, current,
Olbermann.
Okay, so it could be anyone. Okay, definitely Dan Patrick, and yeah. I can tell you why if you don't mind me stealing this and going somewhere with it.
All you.
Okay, I'm just going. So Dan was not a SportsCenter anchor really as heavy when I got there. He had already transitioned over to mainly doing radio, and I got to work on his show for a little bit as a production assistant slash associate producer, because one of the producers, who was a good friend of mine, had to take a little bit of a leave. So I filled his role, and I had to, they just accepted me. That entire crew, the majority of them still work with him too. So it's all those guys, and they're just like, okay, you're the person, let's go. And just gave me as much say in everything, and everyone's opinion counted. And that is totally coming from Dan. And I had one time, we were all taking notes during a taped interview, which was very long. Dan gets the best out of people. We all had input on what would make the interview. And when all of our, and this is like a 40-minute interview that had to be edited down to the best like 8 minutes. And when all was said and done, I was the one that had to edit it. And I had 20 minutes to edit a 40-minute interview down to 8. Wow. And, you know, we time coded it and everything, and you can do that, but it was a lot of pressure for me being so inexperienced and everything, and wondering, like, am I cutting the right things? Am I not? And everything. And so I got it done. You know, they hit play on the interview. So we're in a tape segment at the time, and Dan opens the studio door and says, that was really good work under pressure. And then he also brought me in. He's like, I'm going to give you a little bit of a dad speech. So here we go. And then he told, it was awesome. And he closed the door so no one else could hear. And he said, don't be another cute chick, because a lot of women in this business can get by being a cute chick, but you've got more than that. And I took it to heart so much, because I don't really think I'm cute enough to get away with that. But he told me to just, you know, like, be you, keep doing what you're doing, and not skate by on what a lot of women in the business at the time were doing. And so for that, Dan Patrick is probably my favorite, but I have like so many more, because I know Kenny Mayne, Scott Van Pelt, like, they're awesome, but Dan will forever be in my heart because of that advice.
So we could say you came from the Dan Patrick broadcasting tree.
Yeah.
Yes, technically, yes. That is correct.
I like it. What a great story. Jess, you want to talk some sports?
Oh my God. Is there anything happening?
Are you over sports? Do you want to talk shoes? K-Win got some new Jordan 4s. What do you think?
Oh my God. Are Jordans flying off the shelves?
Yeah. It was total impulse buy. I'm obviously watching The Last Dance like everyone else. I'm like, I got to get some Jordans. And so I did. Probably not the smartest decision based on the economic climate, but hey, I got some J's.
Jess, the NFL schedule just came out.
It did.
Last night. Three must-see games for the Hawks.
On the entire schedule? Oh, okay, three must-see games. The Patriots losing to the Seahawks during Seattle's home opener will be amazing. Absolutely phenomenal in my mind, because I hate the Patriots to my core growing up as a Jets fan. And it will Stidham, really, Bill Belichick? It's really funny how this standoff between Brady and Belichick is going to go, because really, Tom, you went to Tampa? And then Gronk's like, yo, man, like, I'm in. You're in? I'm in. Let's go. And then I'm like, damn it. And they're actually building something down there, but I also hate Bruce Arians. So, I, like, ugh, are they my new nemesis? The Bucks, even the NFC South? Like, what? So, anyway. So, I can't tell who I hate more, if it was Belichick or Brady this entire time. Like, I can't tell. So, I'm really excited to watch the Seahawks take on the Patriots in their home opener. It's week 2. And they start on the road. I forget who they play on the road week 1, but that wasn't very important because it didn't matter to me. And Pete Carroll is 10-0. 10-0 when it comes to home openers. So that will be very fun.
I can't wait for football. And like you, I feel the same way about the Patriots. I'm a not 49ers fan, but I hope the Seahawks run all over the Patriots.
I can't wait to see. The interesting part will be how many Patriots fans get on a plane to come to Seattle.
None of them will. They have crappy fans. They have like seven states worth of fans.
I disagree with you. Yeah, really? I went to a Pats Dolphins game where they lost. Where Fitzmagic in
Did
Foxborough.
You go to Gillette, or were you in Miami? Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean?
They obviously go to their home games.
I had my Hawks hat on. They're very cordial.
That means they suck. Are you kidding me? They were nice to you? They suck.
I had to buy them four beers. But, hey, they were nice after that.
No. The only place for that kind of thing is in the SEC. That's the only place that I accept nice fanhood. Not in the NFL. There's no place for that.
We just did a podcast, SEC versus Pac-12. Who's your SEC team?
Oh, God. I just cursed them all for so long. I don't even know. I think it's Auburn.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. It's Auburn.
So Ben and I are trying to plan a trip to an SEC game. Which game, if you were us, which game should we go?
Okay, I don't have their full schedule in front of me, so I don't know the opponents, but I worked a game, Washington State, I believe it was 2015, when they opened against Auburn, and the War Eagle is, like, absolutely amazing. Have either of you gone there?
No.
Okay, the hedges are amazing on the sides of the stadium. It's absolutely phenomenal, and the whole pregame ceremony, when it comes to, like, this eagle literally knows to fly around the entire thing. Every seat is packed. Nobody's late arriving. And I would never dress up for a football game, but I respect these girls that do. And everyone's dressed up. The boys are in ties and the girls are in dresses. And I would never do that, but I don't care. And they're all in their seats for the start of the game. And then they all do this as the eagle flies around the stadium and then it lands on the field and eats a rat or something. It is phenomenal.
Looks like we're going to Auburn, Ben.
I highly recommend it. Everyone was so friendly. We're wearing enemy gear in our entire broadcast crew is obviously wearing Coug stuff. And no, everyone just invited us to do all these things. We went to a restaurant for dinner the night before in our Cougar stuff, and everyone was just, hey, you know, I'm so excited for the game tomorrow. Nobody talk crap. Like I said, that's the only place you can be nice is in the SEC. Everyone else should be mean to each other. I'm
okay because they were going to kick our ass.
You know, we almost won that game. I believe the final score was 27-24 or 27-23. We almost won that game. I remember Connor Halliday was the quarterback at the time.
I think that tradition pales in comparison to shaking your keys before the opening kickoff. Let's be honest, Jess.
That's fair. That's very fair. What other sports are we talking about?
Let's go to cricket. Let's go to cricket.
Went off on a little bit of a tangent there.
Let's go to who's the best ruck position on the Seattle? What are they?
Don't even know their Sounders? Names. You don't even know their names. That's the soccer team.
No. Give me one second. Seattle. No, Seahounds? No.
You're driving me nuts.
Come on, Ben.
It's like a very strong animal. Is it a mammal?
Yes. Also, a team with the same mascot my dad coached for on Long Island. It is a mythical beast. Ooh, also a nickname for an orca.
The sea wolves.
Yeah, you Googled it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you took a lot of time.
I
definitely
did not.
Did.
You would have heard
this.
You would have heard me. No way. The sea wolves. The ruck position of the sea wolves. Who we look out for this year?
There's ruck is not a position. So.
Yeah, it is.
No.
How about the seven position?
The seven position is actually called, I believe, a hooker.
You're right.
Which is something that I don't like to say on the air.
Once I was
studying rugby, I was like, am I allowed to say that on live television? Thanks. Yeah, no, they've got a pretty strong squad, especially because they're two-time back-to-back MLR champions, and they have retained a lot of their roster. Obviously, this season got abrupted for all of Major League Rugby, so I think San Diego and Toronto were going to be the main contenders when it came to challenging for that, but Seattle still had a lot of guys. I think that the thing for Toronto is that so many of them, about 80% of the roster, played together in the World Cup, and Seattle has drawn from various nations that haven't had that much time together. So this year was Seattle's third year in MLR. Last year was Toronto's inaugural year in Major League Rugby. And so they still made the semifinals, and they're so young, and all of them are still in international competition, but have a really good base up there. And they also partnered with the University of Toronto. So they have a great training facility, and they all just have this camaraderie and brotherhood because of playing together on so many different levels. So I honestly, Toronto was my favorite to win the cup this year. Sorry, Seattle, but they just had an advantage.
Aren't Canadians normally like really nice? I could see one of them doing like a really good spear tackle and then like helping him up and, you know, making sure he's cleaned off appropriately.
Making sure he's okay.
Yeah, I think when it comes to rugby, that's not it's not country specific. It is actually like these guys will kick each other till their core. They'll be bleeding. They'll lose teeth. They'll get stitched up on the sideline. They'll just help each other up. And they all drink afterwards, too. So in the Cougar world, we're all cool with that.
K-Win, remember when?
Remember when?
I played for the Bayonne Bombers.
Ooh, tell us more.
Yeah, I played for the Bayonne Bombers on the B side. The B side. I was the guy that would hold the guy up to go for a free toss or whatever you want to call it.
A line out?
Well, I was a line out, yeah. So very, very integral part to the team.
Yeah, but yes, that is very important.
But I got kneed straight in the eye one game. Ooh. And walked into work the next day. Couldn't see out of one eye. And my boss, K-Win, you know him, Brian. Yeah. Brian looked at me, he goes, "What are you doing on the weekends?" I go, "Playing rugby." He goes, "You got to stop. You can't play rugby anymore." But they do drink a lot after the game. There was a game where if you had your cup and someone put the golf ball in the cup, you had to chug the rest of your drink.
Yes. That's a huge thing. Like, you always have to walk around with your hand over your cup.
Over your cup. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got to experience two of those parties. So that was all fun and games, but.
Did you ever get buffaloed?
Ooh, what's that?
So like if you drink with your non-dominant hand, and if someone catches you drinking out of your dominant hand, like I'm right-handed. So if anyone caught me drinking with my right hand, then they cheers you and go buffalo, and then you have to pound your beer.
So I have played that game just with some friends. I didn't know that's what it's called.
Let's play rugby rules drinking after this.
Well, they were Canadian, so they obviously picked it up from someone.
See, it's very international. See, this is what brings us all together as a global population.
Yeah,
is drinking games.
Jess, if we do a episode on the Seawolves, can we get media passes and join you down on the sideline?
Yes. But you just have to stay away from me and don't look at me in the eye. But yes.
Oh. Jess, Hawks, draft, who has the most immediate impact? And whose jersey are you buying? Two questions. Immediate impact and whose jersey are you buying in the rookies?
That was double barreled right there.
Boom, boom.
Okay. So if I had to answer both, Alton Robinson probably has the most chance to make the biggest impact immediately. DJ Dallas is 1,000% the jersey that I'm buying.
Okay. Just for the number or the name?
Dude, I'm not even getting Dallas on the back. I'm getting DJ. So J-A-Y. I'm going to have that custom made.
DJ Jess?
DJ Dallas. It's just like it's made for announcements. He should be an NBA player, honestly, because that sounds a lot better.
If the XFL ever gets back on the road, he doesn't even need a nickname. Just go with a straight name.
Yeah. No, you know who I am really excited about, and I really hope he makes the roster. We actually talked to him on our show yesterday. Is Stephon Sullivan. He had that epic draft call.
Elaborate.
Watch it.
No.
Wait, did you not? Oh my gosh. So the Seahawks release all the calls that John Schneider and Pete Carroll have with their draft picks, and they call them before it's announced on TV. And so, oh man, you should edit this into this podcast because it's so good. So I'll send you the MP3. I'm obsessed.
We'll get our intern to do that for us.
yes, we're all very important. So he, you know, John Schneider, so it's the seventh round. And this kid's out of LSU. And at this point, he, you know, basically is making agreements with teams who are going to sign him in free agency, because that's what happens on the third day of the draft is teams start calling guys that might not be drafted. And they're like, okay, will you agree to an undrafted free agent contract? And so this huge wide receiver out of LSU is, you know, it gets so thin. And it was such a heavy wide receiver draft, too. Anyway, he's talking to teams about signing an undrafted free agent contract and trying to decide that. And he gets a call from John Schneider. And he's like, you know, John Schneider's like the best. He's like your buddy. And so he's like, hey, man, we're going to draft you right here. And he just goes, don't play with me, coach. Don't play with me. Did you play with me? Are you playing with me? Nope. This is the GM of the Seahawks, and we're going to pick you right here. And then he's got another phone being held up to his face to tell the guy, like, put in this pick. And he's like, yeah, put it in. And then he's like, don't play with me, coach, don't play. And then he goes, no, I'm the GM of the Seahawks. And he goes, you playing? And then he realizes it's real and actually happening, and he's like, let's go! Let's get to work. And he keeps calling him coach, which I loved. Let's go, coach. Let's get to work, coach. And he's like, I am the general manager of the Seahawks. Coach, let's get to work. Let's get to work. So anyway, if you want someone to root for this season, Stephon Sullivan is absolutely one. And beyond that, that was the moment where he kind of lit up everyone. His story is absolutely phenomenal. This is a kid who was homeless, lived in a hotel under a bridge, was taken in by several people throughout his life, had a librarian help him graduate high school, and his quarterback's mother took him in for the remainder of his high school. And he told us that she never asked for anything. He was never a burden to her, but he felt bad about, you know, taking up space in her house. And so he found a way to graduate high school early to enroll in LSU. And this is, it's unbelievable, since he was 8 years old running barefoot through a gym, to be able to graduate early. Both of his parents had been incarcerated multiple times. And then he goes to LSU and, you know, he wins the national championship, and then he gets drafted on the last day of the draft. And it's just, he put all that behind him and just like lives in the moment. So anyway, root for him, root for him.
A great story.
I just ordered his jersey.
I will custom order that one too. yeah, that's a jersey I'm definitely putting money on.
Hey Jess, how would you stack rank the teams in the NFC West?
Ooh, that's a good question. Especially because I feel like, see, the Rams, I feel like, are going to continue to fall, but the Cardinals are sneaky. They bother me. I don't like them at all. But Arians isn't there anymore, and Cliff is suspect with that hair. I don't know. I think Kyler Murray is like a weapon, but I don't think he's been developed enough. I think that Cliff is coaching him kind of as he did in college. Like, I feel like he's doing the same thing. So I would go Seahawks.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Starting at the top. I think the Seahawks Yeah, I'd put him at the top, and that's not me being a homer. I just think that they have the most experience. They've got the most tenured coach, the most tenured quarterback. Jared Goff is a mess. That's not happening. That's not a thing. He's fetch. Let's see. It's really hard for me to decide who's the worst.
Rams are garbage.
Yeah, Ben and I are just think the Rams are at the bottom. Like, they've done hardly anything this offseason. I didn't even think their draft was very good.
I didn't either. It was kind of just like, it wasn't terrible, but not memorable, and they needed something.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
They're like the Bulls after The Last Dance. Like, after everyone left, that's the Rams right now.
Except they didn't win anything.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, minus the rings, oh, and the success, like, and the champion.
Oh, the Bills, four times. Yeah, I would put, okay, so it would be like 1A Seahawks, 1B Niners, obviously. I just think that they're going to have a Super Bowl hangover, and I do not believe in Jimmy G. I just don't. And then I guess I'd go Cardinals and Rams. But, dude, Jimmy G, honestly, like, why is that a thing?
You can't throw past 30 yards.
I mean, when he only has 7 in a game, sure, he's fine.
They pay him the big bucks to hand off the ball and throw screens to Kittle.
I mean, they paid him for his looks, let's be honest. Come on. He's like, I went on a date with a porn star, don't you remember? Jimmy Garoppolo, here at your service. And they're like, just give me my Uber Eats, man.
Add a zero to my contract. Over under 10.5 wins for the Hawks, Jess.
Over. I think they're 11-12.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I saw the schedule.
Jess, they're going to be on a plane for 2,900 miles. It's not easy.
Yeah, I think they'll survive. like what everybody like when they talk about the travel with teams, especially certain ones will like stay on the same coast if they have back-to-back away games on the same coast. Like they act like they're going through like TSA and eating at Chili's. Like they're on private jets. They get their sleep. They have nutritionists and sleep therapists and everything. Like it might be inconvenient, but that's not going to disturb a professional athlete's fine-tuned body that much. I mean, you can complain about London to me, and I'd be like, all right, I get it. But all that's canceled anyway.
It's a masseuse and separate deprivation tanks for each player.
Any one of them could be like, I need a massage, or I need this. And they don't. They're fine. I mean, I get the West Coast guys like not being cool with a bunch of 10 a.m. games. Like, I get it because, you know, if you have a bunch, you're all thrown off throughout the season. But a plane ride, no.
It's all about getting that W, Jess, so they can sit in first class, right?
Mm-hmm. I know. I love that rule, actually. And I love that the coaches will give it up to the guys and be like, okay, you won.
Why would the coaches get first class in the first place? You're not tired. You didn't play in the game.
Yeah, it's a authority kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah. I actually don't know how it works. I just know that that's what happens.
Jess, it's been nearly an hour.
Really? Wow. Time flies when you're doing a podcast. It's
been awesome. You have any questions for us?
Yeah. Who are you?
Go ahead.
Wait, hold on.
Jess, if you really want to know who I am, I'm a Murrow grad.
Okay, bonus.
Exactly. Mitered in Spanish. I went and tried to get a job at ESPN Desportes out of college. They wouldn't have me.
Were you fluent?
Yeah, fluent. Absolutely fluent. To a T. Actually, after 3 Coronas, I was fluent.
Or you thought you were.
And I decided to go into sales, tech sales. So I'm a boring tech sales guy. But this is fulfilling my broadcast portion. This is me trying to live in, you know, live up to the dream, I guess. Fulfill that little niche.
That's really fun. I'm disappointed for you because I was able to take free Spanish classes like at ESPN because they were like, we need more Spanish-speaking people here, and you could just sign up to take classes.
My resume CD must have got lost in the mail. Someone at Bristol Mailroom screwed it up. Should have been there.
Blame it on their interns.
Yeah, they lose a million resumes a year. So I wouldn't take it personally. I wouldn't take it personally.
That's me. Okay, when?
Yeah, so that's it? That's all of you. Okay, got it. Resume lost in the mail. That's what I'm putting down in my contact.
Resume lost in the mail. I would be on Around the Horn. I would be what's his name? Tony Real? Not, yeah, is it Reale? I would be Reale.
Coulda, man. Coulda. Gotta get that resume to the top of the sack. All right, Kaywin, go.
So grew up in the Bay Area, went to Santa Clara. After college, I interned with the A's, a marketing internship, promotions, because I wanted to get into sports. That was me falling around the A's mascot, Stomper, into suites, taking pictures.
Oh, my God.
Signing up kids for Kids Club in the only tunnel in the Coliseum where people could smoke. And I had to sit there for 3.5 innings. After that summer, I'm like, I am done with sports. I'm getting a real job. I'm going to corporate America.
That's how they reach out.
Yeah, I found my way in tech just like Ben, and then got to New York, and Ben and I just bonded over West Coast sports and home and just how we had to stay up until 1 a.m. to watch a WAC game or the Cougs play. And from that, we just said, hey, we should do something. And so if you fast forward to about, I think it was 2017, Ben was going down to the Holiday Bowl to watch the Cougs play USC. Or no.
No,
the Cougs,
Michigan State. Michigan State.
Michigan State. And I
was
in L.A.
You were there? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Continue.
And then I drove down from LA, and then in a hotel bar on a napkin, Ben was like, let's do this. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, the idea, let's just make it happen. And we wrote out our business plan on a napkin, and then we just started recording stuff and putting it out on the internet, and we called it a podcast.
We just landed Series B funding, about billion-dollar valuation. You want our stock ticker symbol, Jess?
I'm sorry? What'd you say?
So did you want our stock ticker symbol?
Oh, yes, because I have so much money to invest right now.
So what, you were at that Holiday Bowl too?
Uh-huh, on the field.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Don't hold it against us. We left halfway through.
We were in the gas lamp district.
We got bottle service downtown.
You and everyone else. Was that the year, or no, it was the year after against Minnesota that I was thinking of? Because Luke was supposed to start, I'm thinking of the 2018 one. Yeah. When Tyler started instead. But following those boys around San Diego was pretty funny. I remember the 2017 one was really fun because I got to the welcome committees and everything, like offered the media to go to everything that the players were doing. So I got to just like a media invite for free to go to the zoo and follow like the 10 guys that they were filming around. And I honestly didn't have to do anything. Like I work for the team broadcast, so it's not like I was going to get anything that I wouldn't get the day of the game. And so I just got to see them like feed giraffes and stuff. And I got all the really cool inside the zoo stuff. And it was really cool. It was really cool. San Diego treated us well. I hope it treated you as well.
Seawolf exhibit.
That's an orca whale. That is a nickname for an orca whale, and I hope to God that those are not in a zoo.
Oh, okay. I'm winding down, obviously. Jess, tell us about J Slam.
Oh, J Slam, my ladies.
Yeah.
We have a group of women that work at 710 ESPN Seattle, and that we've all come from different places, all of us. I guess I just mean like different ways of entering the business. Maura came from Colorado. I came from New York. Lydia has lived in Seattle. Stacey's lived in Seattle. Well, she would actually be mad if I said that. She's from SeaTac. Very proud of it. And Ashley is from Puyallup. So we became friends. We bonded. We're all actually very nice people, regardless of the things that I've already said on this podcast. I'm a nice person. And so we became friends pretty quickly, and we started going out and hanging out together and going to Mariner games and watching events and supporting each other, I think is the biggest thing. But we went out one time and took a picture, and I think Lydia tweeted it or put it on Instagram, and someone said, like, hey, if you guys were in a different order, you could be J-Slam, and like just took the acronym of our names, and we were like, yeah, we're stealing that, and that's ours forever. Thank you, bye. And then it kind of like took off in a weird way that we weren't intending. But it's become really fun just because it is hard to have a large supportive female contingency in this business, mostly because there aren't a lot of us, and it is growing. But the fact that we're all really good friends, I mean, we have a J-Slam group thread that's constantly going, and Stacey keeps renaming it. It's now called Tremendous Grit. Thank you, Nick Saban, for that. And so we just, you know, are 100% supportive of each other. And I think that we all could use that, but it means a little bit more when it's women in this business all supporting each other. So it's been years now that all of us have worked there, and we all have different jobs. We all work in various different ways. And I'm just so proud of everyone. Like, I love being someone who can say I'm just so proud of my friends.
Awesome. Jess, tell our listeners where they can find you on Twitter if they're not already following you, which I imagine most of them are. But Twitter, Instagram,
I mean, where? Come on,
710.
So I am at Jessamyn McIntyre, except there's just one freaking little character that's too long. So it's at Jessamyn McIntyre, but the E just doesn't fit. So if you can spell my name, my first and last, it's all that, except for the E on the end, which is missing. And then I'm on Instagram, but that's worthless unless you like pictures of my dog.
Ooh, what kind of dog?
He is a shelter mutt, which is boxer, lab, and Great Dane.
Okay. We like pictures. Ben just got a dog.
What kind? Go. Tell me everything.
It's a mutt Bernedoodle.
I'm so excited. What, how old?
3 months.
Wait.
Are we still in the weeks? I think you're still in the weeks until you get up to 6 months. So he's 12 weeks, 13 weeks, still pissing in the house, God, so weeks.
Oh, yeah. He's peed 10 weeks old. But that's like a little fluff ball then, still.
Yeah, he's a little pretentious fluff ball that, yeah, just gets distracted and bites your ankles right now. He's in a phase.
Oh, my goodness.
He's in the ankle biting phase.
Do you know how big he'll get?
He's going to get up to, his paws are big. He's got some big mitts. He'll probably get up to 70, 80 pounds.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good size. I mean, my dog's 85 pounds. And and he's just a solid, like, he's like a ball of lead. He's got the short hair, so he's just like muscle. And he's like, no, we're going here now. But the fluffy ones, like, I never wanted a fluffy dog. And now I find them so cute just because they're this, like, fluffy and not a ball of lead.
Yeah, he's hypoallergenic too, which is pretty amazing. But yet he still sheds. It's kind of weird.
Really?
I was like, we need a refund. This guy's shedding everywhere, but His name's Roy, or Royal.
Roy.
Royal. Full name Royal goes by Roy.
Who gave him that
name?
Oh
wow.
Kay Wynn actually gave him that name. My wife is from Kansas. She loves the Royals. So she wanted old man name. And then we actually lived on Roy Street for a long, or I did at least, for about 9 years in Lower Queen Anne. So.
Okay. That's actually pretty solid. Yeah, that's good.
I got like some history.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you can find us at WST_podcast on Instagram or Twitter. You can also see us on Instagram TV. Jess, next time we get you, we'll get you on video so we can chop you up and put you up there with us. But also wherever you get your podcast.
You're welcome for not seeing me.
last question. Best bar in Edmonds.
Ooh.
Oh man, this is a close tie, but I have to go with Tacky Tiki.
Oh.
Rory's is a close
tie. No, Rory's is number one.
Well, okay. It's like, it depends on like what time of day it is.
Yeah. Do you want to play buck hunter darts and drink from a mug, or do you want to have a...
Right. And sometimes I want to do one thing and sometimes I want to do another. And I like Tacky for sports watching, if I'm ever able to go to a bar and watch sports and not actually be working. I like Tacky a little bit better just because they have more TVs and the viewing experience is better. But Rory's is like where I go after I go to Tacky.
Okay, would Rory's be like the Dock Ben?
Okay, yeah, it's similar to the Dock, but Rory's is like the experience you can have at Rory's is before the train comes to actually take you into the city, or before you go on the ferry, either or. You can drink at Rory's. So that's always been my connection to it, is we would drink there and then go to a Mariners game or a Hawks game. That's right, Jess? I'm not fabricating those stories.
You're not, except there's the Sounder train doesn't really run as frequently as it used to. So
you might be there for a while drinking.
But it is closer to the train track. I can tell you that. I know that for sure. It's cool. And then if you go even a little farther down, which is like more of a restaurant than a bar, but Dimitri is like right by the water, and you can watch the ferries come and go and get your ears blown out by the trains coming by.
All right, Jess. Well, thank you for the time.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it. K-Wen's got to put his J's on.
Please do, and don't scuff them. Be careful.
I'll be careful.
Okay, it was good to talk to you guys. Let's be friends now.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Stay safe, stay sane. We'll meet you in Pullman at some point.
Yes, you will.
It will be my first time in Pullman. So, looking forward to...
What? What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
what?
You said Shakers for the best burger, Jess. Come on.
Yeah.
That should have outed him right away. I wouldn't eat any food from Shakers, let alone a burger.
You're just praying to die? That's a suicide mission, sir. We don't accept those in Pullman. All right. All right. I'll see you guys. But yeah, that's for me.